I get to be the spiritual science one. I hadn't heard that phrase before. I kind of like it. My own background, briefly, I have a PhD in cross-cultural religious studies. Spirituality has been a deep, deep passion of mine all my life, and I've spent more than 40 years exploring meditation traditions from various different sources. I also consider myself a layperson who tries to stay as informed as I can about contemporary science, as informed as it is possible for somebody who does not speak deep mathematics. So, to begin with, wanted to ask, anybody happen to see Jimmy Carter on Stephen Colbert the other night? Stephen Colbert is Catholic, Jimmy Carter is Baptist. Stephen Colbert at one point said something about the new Pope, who Jimmy Carter seems to like a lot. Stephen Colbert said, "Well, when are you becoming Catholic?" And Jimmy Carter said, "I will become Catholic on the day that an ordained woman Roman Catholic priest invites me to." Oh.
That radical.
Yeah. With a little bit of pre-apology, I'm going to start off slightly negative and then very quickly morph into positive. But because I'm so interested in science, I want to do my reaction from that point of view first. It's brief. A couple of weeks ago, Keith told us that when he's reading Judy Cannato, he feels like he's understanding it, and then when he stops reading, he feels like it's gone. To a great extent, that's Judy Cannato's fault. In Field of Compassion, when she speaks of spiritual matters, she speaks with authority, wisdom, and experience. When she tries to integrate science and spirituality, unfortunately, she's much weaker. Specifically, she does a terrible job when she talks about quantum physics. If you look at her list of sources for that particular chapter on quantum physics, you'll find that all of them come from Lynn McTaggart, who is a journalist and not a scientist. And Lynn McTaggart's own work on quantum physics is especially weak. It's kind of classic New Age misinterpretation of the science. So Judy Cannato clearly, unfortunately, doesn't know what she's talking about when she talks about quantum physics. Neither do I, but I don't pretend to. Judy Cannato does a pretty decent job of talking about morphogenic fields and a fairly good job in talking about holons, but she mushes it all up late in the book when she says that stories are holons and holons are morphogenic fields. That's overstating. It can be really valuable to look at the relationships between holons and morphogenic fields, but holons and morphogenic fields are not the same thing. Similarly, it can be really valuable to look at the relationship between stories and fields and holons, but stories are not the same thing as those others. She mushes it together a bit too much, and so I think Keith and I can be forgiven for not understanding what she says about those particular topics, because she doesn't. We can validly say that contemporary science, relativity physics and quantum physics, have undermined the old classic view of physics that everything is separate particles, unrelated to each other except via certain kinds of scientific relationships. Contemporary science has kind of undermined that separateness model. And really, that's enough, I think. I think we should let it lie there, correct my grammar. That it's too early to try to reduce the science to a rediscovery of the spirituality, or vice versa. I see some physicists who, Stephen Hawking, for example, saw a series by him. He's a wonderful, one of the world's leading astrophysicists. In a series he did last year, he started out by claiming that philosophy is dead, and now it's up to science to give us the answers. And then he proceeds to do philosophy without realizing that that's what he's doing when he denies the necessity for God and things like that. So science, spirituality, I think we should be appreciative of the mystery of both, actually, and let them come together as they will, but not too early misinterpret either one or the other in favor of the other. That's the end of my negative part. Now I want to defend Judy Cannato in her passionate invitation to an emerging new consciousness. Several weeks ago in this series, the Vedanta nun, whose name I don't pronounce right, so I won't try it, she told us that there's nothing at all new emerging in consciousness. And, or rather, she told us it's just a matter of white Westerners discovering something that the East has always known. In addition, she told us that this world is a proving ground for individuals, and that the highest purpose of life is the individual quest for liberation. Personally, I think she's wrong, or at least incomplete, on both counts. Even if I don't agree with all of the details about how Judy Canavo makes her case for an emerging new consciousness, I do agree with her fundamental point that there is an emerging new consciousness, and that it involves more than just individual liberation. I'll support this by referring first to two forms of old consciousness, emphasizing that by old, I don't mean used up or obsolete. I mean old in that they've existed for thousands of years. Those two older forms of consciousness are classical mysticism and indigenous harmony. Both have a lot to teach us. And together, they give us a grounding for what is an emerging new form of consciousness. Classical mystical traditions lead us toward the realization that I am one with the all. Eastern mysticism emphasizes the absolute identity between the individual soul and the divine absolute, while the West tends to speak more often in terms of being fully in the presence of God. In Paul, the phrasing is along the lines of, "It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me." In the Vedic mysticism of India, the classical formula is Atman is Brahman. The individual soul is the divine absolute. In Vedic mysticism, differences between me and anything else, differences between me and anyone else, are ultimately illusory. Even time in that tradition, even time is illusory. Eternity is real. Moment-to-moment time is an illusion in that tradition. In classical mysticism, both East and West, no particular value is placed on relationality between people. Indigenous oneness consciousness. In our current series here, Michael Kearney gave us a rich presentation about this kind of consciousness. With this kind of oneness, we wouldn't even necessarily call it a kind of mysticism at all. Michael Kearney presented it to us as a way of life, a way of being. The classical phrase, as he told us, is all my relations. All living beings are my sisters, my brothers. I live in harmony with all of nature. In fact, it's not even accurate to say I live in harmony with nature. Rather, it's more accurate to say that harmony exists and I am one part of that music. Harmony is what is real. I tread softly and with respect among all my relations. The emerging new consciousness. While cherishing both classical mystical consciousness and indigenous oneness, how do we explore an emerging new consciousness? The new is, by definition, still in the process of emerging, and so we must not constrain it by trying to define it too tightly. But there are some tentative observations that we can already make. For the new consciousness, space is real. Time is real. I am real. You are real. You are real not only as an object for me, you are real as centers of consciousness in your own right, just as I am. We are all real. I can distinguish between you and me because we are both real, but I can't separate you from me because we belong to the same dance. We can distinguish one another as partners in the dance, even as we are created by the dance, and even as together we create the dance. As in indigenous oneness, you and I realize that we belong to the one harmony, and that all our relations are in the dance with us. possibly more so than in indigenous oneness, we have a keen sense of time and individuality. Even while we have our being in eternity and in unchanging harmony, at the same time, we live in time and we live in ongoing change. That, I submit, is so obvious, or so straightforward as to be fairly obvious to us all, but I think it's new as a form of consciousness, and especially of mystical consciousness. I'm real, you're real. The differences between us are distinguishable, but they're not illusions. There are distinctions between us, not separations, but distinctions. So the new emergence includes the sense, the deeply experienced sense, that the dance, is struggling to become fully conscious of itself. We glimpse the meaning of Paul in Romans 22:23, quote, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies," unquote. We glimpse the possibility of a mutual, shared awakening. That's what's new. The kingdom of God is not static. The kingdom of God is the flowering of the world, the flowering of all creation, including ourselves. And our own moment of that flowering, what is emerging in our moment, is the consciousness of and with one another as creative co-partners. Our time of emergence is a time both of sorrow and of bliss. It's a time of shared sorrow as we weep over our planet as Jesus wept over Jerusalem, as we experience in our minds and in our bodies the melting of glaciers, the dying of species, the hatreds that have us killing one another as we kill our world. And yet also a shared bliss, a slowly awakening bliss as we discover one another and as we see in each other's eyes the possibility and the promise of repentance in the deepest possible shared sense of that word. Repentance as transfiguration together. The sorrow is as real as the bliss in this emerging new consciousness, and the bliss is fully as real as the sorrow. The emerging new consciousness cherishes distinctions even as it denies separateness. It's a matter of individual choices and individual aspirations, even as it's a matter of transformation in common. It's a matter of life and death, with deep compassion for one another and for our expectant earth, we choose life.
Thank you, Ernie.